This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. At 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. Steve back from Disney World. And so he's got the 6 to 8 o'clock hour, and he'll have on with him Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball, LSU, on the three-game roll this weekend with some W's, and then they play Xavier. I think it's tomorrow night, right, Charlie?
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow, and then SEC play starts this coming weekend as they play Missouri. And at 7:25, Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter and our WWL digital content producer, had a chance to talk to members of the Saints coaching staff today. And so we'll get Jeff's impressions on that. Charlie, been nothing happening today other than supposed to just be the orientation part of football free agency, but man, what's left ain't much. And the pickings were pretty slim from a standpoint of big-time players, but man, a lot of money being thrown around in the free agency period, and it's all about fit, trying to find a guy that's right fit for your team. And we all knew with the Saints there wasn't going to be a lot of action. You don't have money. You're fiscally not sound to go out and spend all kind of money right now in free agency. They did come to terms to extend Nathan Shepard. Josina Anderson was the first to report that. And with Nathan, they're going to move him from defensive tackle to an end in a 3-4 alignment. Same thing as Brian Brisset. They're going to both play end in your base 3-4. They found him a nose tackle, and former LSU and Plaquemine High School standout, Davin Godshaw. I remember watching Davin at Plaquemine. Then he gets hurt, has a knee injury. There was even some question marks because Davin was an early commit to LSU. Would the head coach honor that after he goes through a knee injury, came back from that, really had three really solid seasons at LSU, ends up being a middle-round pick at the Dolphins, and really has transformed his career from a defensive end to a defensive tackle to a nose guard. And I heard on the morning show Bill Belichick did for the Pro NFL Network, him talk about Davin Godshaw was, in his opinion, one of the most underrated football players in the National Football League for what he did. And basically, you know, his job is stop the run, occupy blockers. You didn't have to give up a lot for him, a seventh-round pick in 2026 for Davin Godshaw. But he comes home, and also with Davin, I think he's either bought a house or building a house. I have to talk to Pete Jenkins about this. We got Pete on at 4:35 in the, I think it's either Dallas or Houston area, where he's either got a new house that he bought or is building one there. He's not that far away. I know he's thrilled. I'll let Pete tell you all the details. Crazy thing about Pete Jenkins, he's always talking about retirement. Well, the last coach Davin Godshaw had at LSU was Pete Jenkins, and he's worked with him. Every year Pete has a seminar out in Dallas for defensive linemen, and it was funny. I got this sent to me today, and this is comments from Davin Godshaw. I thank God each and every day for bringing a great coach like Pete Jenkins into my life. Goes to show, man, when you're a dad, or you're a teacher, or you're a coach, to have somebody say that about you is really special. And so we'll get Pete to talk about Davin Godshaw and his transformation from end to defensive tackle to nose guard. Different body look, and Davin looks a lot bigger today than he was when I saw him at Plaquemine. Man, he's well over 300 pounds. Got himself in great shape last year, but you know what his job is. Stop the run.
Something the Saints couldn't do at all last year, Mike. And every single person that we've talked to about Brandon Staley and his 3-4 scheme, so the two things you desperately need on this roster is the space-eating nose tackle and outside linebackers. They found their space-eating nose tackle with Davin Godshaw. And one thing that's a little bit underrated about his game is, yes, he's a great run stuffer, but he's also been available. Mike, if you look at his 4 years in New England, 17 games played. 17, 17, 17. He's been available for every single game that the Patriots have played over the last 4 years. And as you mentioned, the production is there as well. He's been over 60 tackles in three of those 4 years as a nose tackle. Greatest stuff in the run. You know, it's a need for this team. And we were wondering if they would address it in the draft, and they still may. Defensive line is still a need on this roster.
You got no depth there.
No, exactly. But you got your early down run stuff and nose guard with Davin Godshaw, and that's very exciting.
Yeah, another thing we'll talk to Pete about, it's not as dramatic maybe as when I first saw the 3-4 alignment come into play in the 70s. Actually, Bum Phillips had it with the Chargers.
Yeah.
He was the one that kind of installed that. That was more of a college defense. You didn't see that much in the NFL. And all of a sudden, Bum brings it in because he was a college coach. Does it with the Chargers, and certainly had it with the old Houston Oilers. And, you know, we saw the transformation throughout the years with the 3-4. And that's a lot of shading kind of to the left or to the right or the center. We'll get talk to Pete Jenkins about it. And the body types are different at the nose tackle and also at the 3-4 outside linebacker positions. The Saints don't have that big guy coming off the edge. The only guy that would fit that mold is a guy that's really played only on special teams, Isaiah Foskey. He's about the only guy from when you're looking at a physical guy from the physical standpoints that would kind of get into that mold as a 3-4 outside linebacker. We'll talk to Pete about that. Also, when we come back, we'll talk about a lot of dealings across the National Football League, a lot of moves today, and what was supposed to be just, I kind of get in touch with you and maybe make a deal. Man, all these deals are already done.
Mike, I feel like we should also mention this. It was a 2026 seventh-round pick that's reportedly heading to New England in return for Davin Godshaw, so it's nothing. I mean, yeah, you get him back basically for free for like a dart throw in the seventh round next year. It's not even this upcoming draft.
He didn't fit exactly what Rabel was looking for, but Rabel found his guy in Milton Williams, a guy that, man, I remember when Louisiana Tech recruited him. He was from the Texas high school ranks. He came in. He was a 225 pound guy, and now he's, man, cashing in. And I think what it is, $28 million,
26. And so with one last thing with the money for Davin, base salary for this upcoming year, $4 million, and then next year, $6.5 million. So he's on, you know, the books for the next couple of years with the Saints. They've also restructured his contract to kind of make the money work. They're still working with that salary cap issue, Mike.
And they'll be working on that for the next couple of years.
And they refuse to ever just
got
to
be fiscally fit if you want to get involved in free agency. And this football team is not at the present time. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody at 4:35, we'll have Pete Jenkins on with us. Talk to us a little bit about Kyle Williams. He was the guy that actually recruited Kyle Williams to LSU as a high school player. Has been knowing Kyle since then. And also certainly about Davin Godshaw, who he coached in his final year at LSU. A lot of movement across the National Football League, and if you look across, one of the teams that benefited by losses of the Falcons were the Chicago Bears today. The Bears cut loose Grady Jarrett, who has been a longtime fixture along their defensive front, and it didn't take him long. He signs up with the Chicago Bears, and Dennis Allen, who never got to coach him but had to coach against him. And so Grady Jarrett now joins the Chicago Bears, and then the Bears made the big move grabbing one of the top centers, certainly on the free agent market, and Chris Dolman. Dolman had been a fixture along that defense offensive line for the Falcons. They were really one of the best run-blocking units in the NFL. And, Charlie, when you look at it, they've added two guards, two veterans in trades, and now bringing in Dolman. So one thing that Ben Johnson did, he ripped a page out of the Sean Payton playbook, in that Sean had always talked about building from the inside out. That was something Coach Payton talked about constantly, building from the center on out first. And you see Ben Johnson doing the exact same thing, and then they bring in a big guy like Grady Jarrett to shore up their defensive tackle spot.
The Bears are primed, Mike, to be the team that makes that significant jump in the NFC, I think, for next year. Do you remember how many times Caleb Williams was sacked in his rookie campaign?
It was over 70, wasn't it?
68, which is the third most in NFL history. So what do the Bears decide to do? They make a move for Jonah Jackson, making a trade with the Los Angeles Rams. They trade for Joe Tooney from the Chiefs, and then they sign Drew Dolman. And that is a completely new interior offensive line for the Chicago Bears. Now, you know, they got Darnell Wright on the right tackle, and they're still kind of connected with Will Campbell potentially at left tackle if they want to do that. But it is a new-look offensive line for the Chicago Bears. I mean, they're...
And what happens if Ashton Jeantee, and I don't think he makes it there.
I don't think he makes it past six, Mike. I think
he's in that top seven or eight for sure.
Right.
But what would happen if he gets there? Man, the Bears ain't passing up Jeantee.
No, I don't think so either. But I think he goes before then. So if they want him, they probably need to trade up potentially upwards of five, maybe. Because I think the Raiders are going to be interested in them. But we'll see what happens there.
You know, because Pete builds that offense around the running game.
Exactly.
Loves to run the football. And so that would make a lot of sense. And certainly a big trade with Laremy Tunsil being dealt off to the Washington Commanders for a host of draft choices. And it's kind of broken up into 2025 picks, 2026 picks. And you can see what they're trying to do here. They're trying to protect their biggest asset in Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
And having Laremy Tunsil be the guy at left tackle to do it. And, you know, I think he's got one more year left on a contract after the 2025 season. So I suspect that there's also been some workings on a new contract for Laremy Tunsil. But you can see what the Commanders are doing here. They've eyed the fact that, hey, we saw how we got beat last year by the Eagles. So we're going to try to match that. And they gave up, I think it's four draft choices,
right,
in exchange for former All-Pro Laremy Tunsil with the Houston Texans.
And it's over, as you mentioned, the next 2 years. Mike, Diana Rossini has this. Washington receives left tackle Laremy Tunsil, who's a five-time Pro Bowler, and a 2025 fourth-round pick. Houston receives a 2025 third, a 2025 seventh, a 2026 second, and a 2026 fourth. So the Washington Commanders are kind of throwing these draft picks around, making sure that they can build a roster around their superstar rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. It's, you know, both of these teams, the Chicago Bears and, you know, the Washington Commanders, they see kind of what they need to help their stud young rookies entering year two, and they're going to make a run at it. So I think it's an interesting move, Mike. You and I agree that Laremy Tunsil did not have his best year this past season, but
something looked wrong with him physically.
Yeah, I think it may have been tied to that he wasn't playing at 100%. If he isn't 100%, you have a premier cornerstone left tackle if you're the Washington Commanders. So it makes sense to do, but we'll just kind of have to see what happens there. Meanwhile,
also to Paulson Adebo, we've had a lot of people ask about Paulson Adebo. He has signed a three-year deal with the New York Giants. Now, those terms have not actually been released yet. Now, initially, it was 3 years, $30 million. I didn't believe any of that.
No.
Now it's being reported more. It's like 3 years, $54 million.
Right. $18 million per is what Mike Garofalo had put out there. So you're looking at a three-year, $54 million contract with $30 million guaranteed. So it wasn't a three-year, $30 million deal. It's more the 30 was kind of the guaranteed money. So Paulson Adebo getting a nice payday with him. And Mike, you kind of worry with this signing. You didn't have the money to pay him that type of, you know, contract.
No, the Saints weren't going to be in competition for Paulson Adebo with that type of money.
No.
And you're not going to be in competition next year either. I mean, okay, you look at this deal, and once it got revealed at the combine that they were going to try to work out a deal with Derek Carr, you fiscally set with him, not only for 2025, but you're going to owe him money for 2026. If you cut him post June 1st, 2026, you're going to be paying him into 2027. Dead money. And until you get that situation fixed, you're going to be watching a lot in free agency. You're not going to be a major player.
I know Paulson's broken femur was like one thing where I'm sure the Saints probably offered him a prove-it type of contract. But when the Giants were willing to take that type of risk on him and give him a deal that pays him 18 per, yeah, you take that if you're Paulson, 10 times out of 10. So he's heading to the NFC East with the New York Giants. And, you know, for Saints fans, you just kind of hope that it's not the same situation that you've seen a couple times in the past half decade where Trey Hendrickson goes and shines with the Cincinnati Bengals and Caden Ellis goes and shines with the Atlanta Falcons. And now, most recently, Zach Bond goes and shines with the Philadelphia Eagles because you just can't pay these guys.
No, that's not going to be any quick fix here. That contract with Derek Carr is going to stay with you now into the 2027 season. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870, and Pete Jenkins will join us to talk Kyle Williams, Davin Gotcha, and also the switch the Saints are doing from a 4-3 alignment to a 3-4, and the body types that'll be different right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the legendary Pete Jenkins, coached everywhere. Now it's over 50 years. I'm not going to say his age, but I don't want to give nothing
36,
away.
36, right, Mike?
No, 39 again, but it's been quite a few multiplications on that. Pete, thanks so much for joining us. And when I first got in touch with you, this was going to be about Kyle Williams, who you helped recruit to LSU, and about the change body types from a 4-3 alignment to a 3-4, and then dang, this morning, Davin Godshaw, the Saints make a deal for him, and in reading Davin's comments about you and that making that comment about, I just thank God every day I had a coach like Pete Jenkins. And, you know, if you are a teacher or a coach, and really a coach is a teacher or a family member, when somebody says that about you, that's really special. Tell us about your experiences with Davin and how he really progressed that final year or so you had him at LSU.
Thank you for mentioning that. You know, that meant so much to me that he's a very sincere guy, too, and spiritual guy. You know, so when I read that, you know, I mean, yeah, it meant a lot to me. And so he is I'm real familiar with him in 2015 because Coach O was the D-line coach. And I had a lot, Coach O and I looked at film together in 15, and I watched Godshaw. You know, he did okay, Mike. He did okay. I would say that it was okay. All right, so in 16, Ed gets the interim job and brings me in here, which was crazy because I'd been through spring practice at Southern Cal, and I'd been through training camp at Southern Cal. And we had just gotten back home, and Ed called, and next thing I knew, I'm coaching at LSU. Anyways, crazy world. Anyways, Godshaw, his commitment just was unbelievable. And as the 17 season progressed, Mike, if you'd had one of those graph things, you see, I mean, it would have started down here in the medium range, and by the end of the year, he was playing at a very, very high level. And I told the pro scouts that would come in and want to talk about him and everything, and I'd say, look, if you want a real good evaluation, don't take his first four games. Take his last four games. Take the end of the season and work forward, because you'll really see what an improvement this young man has made. But the commitment to focus and to put that hard work into becoming a better football player was real inspirational to me, to be honest with you.
Coach, one of the things I remember on the morning broadcast Bill Belichick would do for NFL Network, he brought up that he felt Davin Godshaw, for what he did, his position, was one of the most underrated football players in the league, because he said, you know, he did a lot of the grunt work, the dirty work, basically tying up multiple blockers, stopping the run. Okay, he said, yo, the guys that get all the ink, the people that watch, they're watching the pass rushers. Yeah. They're not watching that guy that's basically going to secure that tackle for somebody else. And for Belichick to say that, okay, because Bill's seen quite a few of them now throughout the years. I thought that was high praise coming from Coach Belichick.
Yeah, and every time I talk to him, he really talks good about him. You know, when Belichick was there, they held him. I mean, he was held in high esteem up there. And see, that's what he did. His agent told me one time that one of the scouts told him that Godshaw was terrible on double teams. Okay, and let me tell you, you know, a double team ain't nothing fun. You know, I mean, it's you got about 600 plus pounds on you, and what we try to do is we got a saying, mate. We never trade one for one. Okay, so if we got two on me, then we got one free. Okay, so the linebackers, you know. He did a great job for the linebackers, and he ate those double teams up. Well, the agent was telling me what the scout had said, and one long after that, this article came out, and they talked about how great Godshaw did playing double teams and freeing the linebackers up. And look, here's what it takes, Mike. It takes a tough guy. It takes an unselfish guy, and it takes a team guy. And he's all those things. He's all those things. So, yeah, he you know, the guy just didn't know what he was talking about when he was talking about he didn't play double. He ate those double teams up. And like I say, if it's two on me, we got one free.
Coach, Kyle Williams, you know, and it's funny, mm-hmm. you helped recruit him to LSU. And you played 13 years.
Worked my tail off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, 13 years in the NFL. You know what the hell you're doing. And you talk about a body type that, you know, if you put it in the computer, which they all do today, and, you know, and it's all this RAS and all this stuff, you got to be a certain size, height, yeah. weight, speed. Come on, it's never going to compute good for Kyle Williams. I will say this. For interior players, you coach one in Lyndon Marshall, who was a great player with the Giants, really was. Kyle Williams was that type player for the Buffalo Bills. So tell us a little bit about the recruiting. But, man, I know one thing. Kyle Williams, if you're in a fight, you want him fighting with you. You don't want to be looking at him.
No, you don't. You don't. You, well said. Let me tell you, special guy. I just answered somebody's text and asked me about it, and I said, great player, you know, great leader. A guy that you want on your team. So I'm at the Eagles when Kyle comes out. And I'm telling you now, Mike, I stood on the table. I wanted them to draft him so bad, so bad. And I'm gonna share something with you. The GM laughed at me a little bit in what did you call your readings? You got Mr. Lurie, the owner, was in there, the coordinator. Coach Reed was in there, and I had such a high grade on him, okay? And here's what I remember. It has rung in my ears, and I've been tempted so many times to call the guy wherever he is. I have to find him first. But anyways, call him and say, you know what? I might have been right on Kyle Williams. You know, I just... Can you remember back when he hawed me about, here's what he said. He said, you know, Pete, you think all them damn Louisiana guys are better than other players. He said, and Kyle Williams is a short-armed white guy. And I looked at him and I said, well, that may be true. That may be true. He's a white guy and he's short-armed kind of for the measurables that you guys go by. But I guarantee you, there ain't nobody in the town of Philadelphia got as big a heart as he's got. And he did. He went to the Bills. It didn't surprise me, Mike. I knew that guy. I knew that guy would do good because he is a rolling ball of damn butcher knives now. And and here's the thing too. People don't realize about the guy. Number one, and it's hard for me to really appreciate this since I don't play golf. He's a scratch golfer, okay? So that's pretty good, huh?
You damn right it's good. And don't get in no golf game with him for money because he'll snatch it from your pocket.
Yeah, and the guy was athletic. I mean, could stop on a dime and give you 9 cents change. Just quick as a hiccup. And he played so great for Buffalo. And it did me a lot of good because I took a beating trying to get him drafted, but I wanted him at Philly so dadgum bad, and I couldn't get it done.
Coach, looking at someone that was in Philly and just signed a huge contract in an NFL free agency frenzy today, Milton Williams, former La Tech Bulldog, was the third round draft pick in 2021. Yeah. He had a breakout year, really, with the Philadelphia Eagles this past season with 5 sacks, and he was part of that rotation with 2 Georgia boys, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. But, I mean, that interior defensive line for the Eagles was disgusting. But now Milton gets paid $26 million average annual value over the next 4 years. You worked with him. Mike has let me know that. I want to get your thoughts on Milton and the amount of work he put in to really take that jump this past year.
No, Charlie, I'm glad you asked about him because, you know, I've had him a couple of times in my summer program. And I told Mike one time, we were talking about, we go 2-a-days, and that's usually quite enough for everybody, but I can't give him enough work when I get him. I mean, he is a driven guy. And he's made such progress as a player. I'm so happy for him. You know, he's the kind of guy that you want, just like we're talking about Kyle. This guy's the kind of guy you want on your team. You're going to get his best is what you're going to get. And I'm really happy for him because, in my opinion, he's a guy in the off season. He has really made himself into a dominant football player. So, you know, you love to see people have success that work that damn hard at it and earn it like he has. And I'm excited as I can be about Milton. I like him as a person, and I have so much respect for him as a player.
Coach, look, when he was at Tech to come in, yeah. I bet he wasn't 230 pounds when he first started.
Yeah.
He was real lean when he came to Tech. I mean, I'm talking about his second number definitely was a two.
Yeah, he is athletic and quick. I just cut up some film from last summer. I was putting it in my teaching film for my trips and everything, and I used him three or four times in the because he just moves. He's quick as a hiccup, and he can really, you know, he can accelerate extremely well. So accelerating extremely well means this: once he takes care of that blocker on pass rush, that's the important thing about. I don't care about a 40-yard dash, but can he accelerate for 7 yards to the quarterback? And that rascal, he's got some jet propulsion for that 7 yards burst. I call it a burst, Mike. 40 yards, we got to chase the damn quarterback. If we're a defensive lineman, we got to chase the damn quarterback down 40 yards or the running back 40 yards. We all in trouble because who in the hell is going to get that done? You know,
that ain't happening unless you're trying to chase around Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels all day. Accumulative, you might have worked that 40 yards.
But if you've got that burst, you can play the run and be very effective. And of course, that really is an important factor. Getting off, and I saw him in the championship game. Twice he got by the blocker, and he looked like he was shot out of a gun. Pow! I mean, he's got that suddenness and everything. So, yeah, I'm really excited about Bo Davis coaching there and those two kids coming there to play. And I'm really excited. I'm just happy for the Saints, and I'm happy for those guys.
Coach, the Saints changing from a 4-3 alignment to a 3-4 alignment, and it's not maybe as dramatic as we've seen in years past. When that first got in, I was telling Charlie the story, really Bum Phillips sort of ran that through because Bum was a college coach, and he kind of brought that into vogue into the professional ranks in the 70s. You know, you had to be a certain body type, and still today, I think you still got to be a certain body type to play that nose tackle position. And I think for the Saints, Brian Brisset is really better off at that end in a 3-4 alignment anyway than playing defensive tackle, to be honest with you.
Much better off.
I agree. The big change for me is the Saints don't have those big linebackers on the outside that can rush a quarterback. And so explain to the people out there just how the change is going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 and the body type differences that you're looking for in the outside linebackers.
That's the key position, Mike, right there. So when Coach Saban first came to LSU, we had the longest, toughest offseason program I ever been through. You know, the fourth quarter program that he's so famous for, that damn thing went on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And, you know, I mean, it was hard on all of us, coaches, players, everybody. But I realized later, He was going to go to the damn day spring practice had to start where he could get a good feel and get a good look at the players. He wanted to run the 3-4. That's what he wanted to do. Well, what he told us, you know, is after being around the squad as much as I have been in this offseason program, we don't have outside linebacker type guys. Okay, now let me say this to you, Mike. That's where we started recruiting to the 3-4. is we wanted two. We had to have two really good outside linebackers. They're the key to the whole thing, okay? Because here's what they have to do. They got to be as physical as the front guy, because a lot of times the tight ends in location on the line of scrimmage, so they got to play a tight end or two tight ends. So they got to be physical at the point, okay? The other thing they do is they got to drop. So they got to be part defensive back. And they don't give them, you know, the whole field to cover, but they do have to cover. And they are really important in your cover package. So you got a mixture now of a guy that got to come to the line of scrimmage and play on the tight end sometimes and also be in your pass drops, okay? The other thing they do is they wall. They have to wall people. And it's like playing basketball. They got to be laterally quick where they can wall people out of the middle of the field. So then you, as you said, when we call where we bring in the outside linebacker, one, what you can do in the 3-4, you can bring one of them, you can bring both of them. It's just how you want to do your coverage. But now they got to be a proficient pass rusher. So all in all, I think it's probably the most difficult skill place to play on the 3-4 defense. So getting good ones on it, the outside backer. If you don't, you need to play a 4-3. That's what we did here when Coach Saban came. We played a 4-3 because we didn't have outside linebacker type athletes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it did. And man, he found those guys at Alabama, though. Good gracious, looked like
they were great.
I mean, every year
when he had the chance to pick them out, you know, what he inherited here was, we just didn't have the body type. So we played a 4-3, and we played those guys. Those guys were defensive ends, and the whole job is different. The whole job is different. So, yeah, you got to have really good players at the outside backer to be successful in the 3-4.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, insights, buddy. Take care of yourself. And one quick question on Gottschall. Did he buy a house out in the Houston area?
Yeah, he bought a house near Dallas somewhere.
Okay, in Dallas, okay.
Yeah.
I remember you
saying,
I didn't remember if it was Houston or Dallas, but he's real close, and he'll help with your camp out in Texas this year.
He ain't going to help with them. I'm going to work his butt off.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it,
buddy.
Thanks,
Coach.
All right. Pete Jenkins, the legendary defensive line coach, still working, 83 years old. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Pete Jenkins for joining us at 520. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, will be here to talk to us about LSU baseball. Baseball on a hot winning streak, and also spring football update from Zach. Also, it's our pal out in California who always brings up Kenny Pickett. Well, Kenny Pickett's been dealt today. The Eagles traded him to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson, former UCLA guy, and a fifth-round pick in 2024. So Kenny Pickett goes to Cleveland's got a chance maybe to be a starter early on. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.